Well, thank you so much. I'm just very, very grateful. Every time I come here, I love this place. I love you guys. I love Pastor Daniel and Sister An, and it just means so much that you would come and worship the Lord, and we could do it together, and that I get the privilege of sharing God's word with you. And because I love it so much, I need to time myself and make sure I don't talk too long. So I'm going to hit my stopwatch. But yeah, have a great summer. But stay here for 30 more minutes mentally before you go. And I want to tell you a story. I'm a civil engineer. I'm not a pastor. I'm a civil engineer. And I do a lot of part of what I do is I go into buildings and I check things like fireproofing. I see if it's adequately done and different kinds of structural things, concrete, all kinds of things that I do. And let's see, Sister Ons. Maybe you don't want to see me, so maybe I should leave it there. But I wanted to show you one of the places. This is called the Poff Building, and this is in Roanoke. And it's a very formidable structure, right? It's huge. It's a federal facility. And federal marshals go there and judges. It's super high, it's high security. You cannot walk into that place. You cannot. If you try to walk in and go in, they'll arrest you. So only certain people can go in there, and that's the place I had to work. These marshals are carrying guns. You have judges, they're trying to protect people. So it's a very high stress place to work and also high security. So how would you get in? How would you get in if you wanted to get in? Well, one way would be like this. You could get a bunch of your friends together and try to crash the door. The problem is you see those people in the back. Is this Oh, that's the mute. Okay. See those people in the back with the shields? I don't know exactly they have that equipment, but you would be met with some force and you would not get in. So I had to get in, and how do I get in? How did I get in? Well, I had something that is even more powerful than a whole crowd of people. I had something that was more powerful than all the violence and force that you and I could have brought against the doors of that place. I had money. I bribed them, yes. I had this. I had this. I'll pass. It's nothing to look at, but it looks like it's a bad picture of me because it looks like my ears are blown off. But I don't know, a fish lens or something, but it's my security badge. I had a badge. And because I had a badge, every time I went to the door, the guard said, "May I see your badge?" And I showed him the badge. Welcome. And so I had access. And this badge was a sign of my status with the federal government as a secure agent of civil engineering work for their projects for this particular facility. And it did a lot of work over there. And that badge always worked, always got me in, was always respected. Now, what I want to say to us this morning is you and I, as Christians, we also have a badge. The Bible actually calls it a sign. And that sign is the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ is the sign of your status and my status before God. The blood of Christ is what we show, if you will, bear with me, every time we come before the Father with our prayers, every time we come before God. If God were to say, "Where's your badge?" you would say, "It's the blood of Jesus." And he would say, "Welcome, welcome." Now, this morning we had a great symbol of that sign in communion, and I love the way Pastor Daniel did that because he always does that with such reverence. When we're drinking that symbol, it reminds us of the real blood of Jesus that was shed for us and which gives us access to God. Now, I want to take us back to a story, and I think this is something that actually you all covered quite a bit. I think you actually went through Exodus at one point, didn't you? Yeah. So I hope I'm not repeating everything you've already heard, but it's always good to look at something fresh. And I want to take us back to a sign that God gave both to the people of Israel, but also to Egypt. And this sign was called the Passover. It was encompassed in something called the Passover. And you remember from the story that Pastor Daniel shared with you, I'm sure, that the Jews had been sojourners, aliens, in the land of Egypt for 430 years, long time, many generations of people. And the first few generations had a really good relationship with the people of Egypt, the leaders, because of Joseph and his whole story, if you remember. But the Bible says that the Pharaoh who knew this history and this relationship died, and a new Pharaoh came who did not know Joseph, it says. And from that point on, things changed. And he saw the Jewish people not as a friend, but as a threat. And so he tried to enslave them and subjugate them. And God raised up, and they cried out to God, "Oh God, deliver us, deliver us." And God raised up a man. Do you remember his name? Moses. Okay? And Moses went before Pharaoh and said, "God, my God, our God, is saying, let my people go to the wilderness to worship me." And nine times Pharaoh said no. And nine times God brought a plague. And there were all different kinds of plagues. There were gnats that bit people and annoyed them, got in their eyes. He turned the Nile River. They depended upon the Nile River for their sustenance, and he turned that to blood. He caused boils to boil up on their skin. And again, God gave them signs which were not deadly. They were just a sign to say, I really exist. I am the one true God. You must let my people go. And nine times Pharaoh said no and hardened his heart. So this tenth time was it. And God said, okay, they've rejected me enough. I'm going to go through the land of Egypt, and I'm going to take the life of all their firstborn. And you say, oh, that's so harsh. I thought God was a God of love. He is. But there comes a point when God must bring judgment in order to satisfy his own righteousness, in order to demonstrate who he is. He cannot be merciful forever when the mercy is not responded to. And so God brought that sign of judgment to Egypt, and finally Pharaoh let those people go. But there is also another sign, and let's read a few scriptures here, another aspect of this same thing. And the second part of this sign that God gives, this badge, where'd my badge go? Ah, I'm going to feel insecure without my badge, man. You guys might ask for it. God gives a sign to the people of Israel too, and I'm going to read some scripture and then we'll talk about that sign. So, God says to Moses, "Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of the month of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's household, a lamb for a household." This is Exodus 12. I'm summarizing. "And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night." And I want to pause here for a minute. We know this is called the Passover, right? But it's also the pass through. So God passes through to bring judgment, but he passes over his people. And we're going to find out what the difference is here. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood, here you go, shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, the title of my message this morning is When He Sees the Blood. What happens when He sees the blood? When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when He sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And then here was the result. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Okay, up, get out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel. Go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said and be gone. And bless me also." There's finally a little bit of humility there. The Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." This was a strong sign of judgment for the people of God. This was a sign ultimately pointing to the Lamb, but ultimately pointing to Jesus and the mercy of God embodied in Jesus. Now, I'm jumping way ahead, okay? For the people in Israel, they didn't immediately connect the Passover with Jesus. But they did connect the Passover with the sacrifice of the Lamb. And every year, the Israelites practiced the Passover, and each family brought an unblemished lamb. And that lamb was sacrificed for their sins. And every year, they remembered what God did to deliver them from Egypt. And they remembered the blood on the door. That meant that God passed over them. "Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb." I'm reading it again. "According to their father's houses, a lamb." Excuse me. "For a lamb for a household. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat. The blood shall be a sign for you." The Passover was a sign of judgment to the Egyptians, but the lamb and his blood was a sign to God's people. "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." See, ultimately, this lamb that was sacrificed and this blood was a symbol of Christ on the cross. And you see that all through the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul explicitly says, "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival." 1 Peter chapter 1, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." In Hebrews is full of this. And you guys also did Hebrews, so really, this is a kind of a boring message. I should just stop.
We haven't got there yet.
Okay. Okay. So Hebrews chapter 9, "He entered once for all," that is Jesus, "once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." And then 10:19 in Hebrews. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain," that is, through his flesh. And then he goes on to say, "Let us draw near with confidence." Brothers and sisters, the blood of Christ is our sign. It is the sign. But we need to think about what a sign is. because I think we can skip over this. And so I want to illustrate this by way of example. I took my brother hiking one day in the Adirondack Mountains in New York, and we hiked this mountain. And we got started a little late, so we got started down a little late. And I said, "Joe, just follow me." My brother was complaining the whole time. He didn't like it. I loved it. He's just complaining the whole time. When are we going to go down? When are we going to go? And, you know, so finally we got to the top, and I said, "Let's go down." And he said, "Well, which way?" And I said, "I know the way. I mean, look, you're just going down a mountain." So I just picked a trail, and I started going. And I felt very confident that I knew where to go. And every once in a while, he would look over there, and there's another trail. He'd go, "There's a sign over there." I go, "Joe, I got this." So we kept going and going and going, and pretty soon it felt to me like, and to him, like we weren't really getting down the mountain, and the sun is starting to set. And Joe's like, "Look what you've done! You should have followed the signs." And I said, "Well, yeah," and I started to feel really worried. And then finally, we're walking along, and we saw a sign. The signs looked like the thing on the right. And suddenly, everything straightened out. I knew where to go, and we got down safely. It's still a story that, well, we talk about, but my brother's not very nice about. but, you know, a sign is a symbol. It's a symbol, but it's also a way of, if I'm not pushing this a little too far, it shows us a direction. It shows us a way of thinking about something, a way of looking at something. The blood of Christ is our sign. And so when we want to know, does God really love me? We don't look in our hearts. We don't look at our experience. We don't go ask another Christian friend. We look at the blood. It's a sign for you. It's a sign for me. Romans. It's a sign pointing to Jesus. Romans 5:6. Isn't that cool? You guys want to see that again? I like that one. Let's watch this. Watch the cross. Isn't that cool? And even if you go back, you can even see this kind of looks like a cross. I don't know. I found that. And then I like this. Anyway. So Romans 5:6. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's me. That's you. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows, demonstrates, gives a sign of, he holds up a badge of his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." That angel of death that went through Egypt and killed everyone who was not covered by the blood. He went over the homes that were covered by the blood, and they were saved from the wrath of God. How much more are you and I saved from the wrath of God, the anger of God against sin, through the blood? But you know, this is something I think that's even, to me, even more surprising. Everything I've said so far, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you've heard this. But here's something I heard recently. I won't take complete credit for it. But this is so powerful to me that, oh, I left out "for God." Anyway, what it's supposed to say is, the blood is not just a sign for us. It's a sign for God. It's a sign for God that we are justified in Jesus. He says, "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." When I see the blood, hence my title, "When he sees the blood." The blood is a sign for God. Let's think about this picture for a minute. Where were the people during the Passover? in the houses, could they see the blood? No. It was a sign for them. They're like, okay, we're painted on here. We know what it means. They went in the house. Who saw the blood? God saw the blood. It's a sign for God to pass over our sins and to forgive us. We're safe in the house, which is Christ. And the blood is what God sees when he comes and looks at us. Here's what didn't happen, but this is what many of us fear. We're in the house, and then we're waiting for all of this judgment to go on around us, and then we hear, somebody get that. Open the door. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm the angel of death. I was just looking at your door. Nice paint job. That was good, good, yeah. Got a lot of coverage there. Hey, listen, I'm just passing through bringing judgment. And the blood's it's pretty good. That's about 90%. You got it covered. But do you mind if I just come in and have a look around and see if I really don't need to judge you after all? Didn't do that. Didn't do that. That blood was all he needed to see. So many of us, we say, well, I don't feel saved today. You ever wake up and say, I don't feel saved today? You ever go through a whole day and go, I don't feel close to God at all? How many of you have ever had that? Come on, be honest. Yeah, yeah. You're looking at the wrong sign. What God needs to see is not your feelings. God needs to see the blood. And when you and I believe in Christ, the blood is put on the lintels and doorposts of our lives, of our hearts, forever. The Passover happened every year, but the Bible tells us that Jesus went once for all into the Holy of Holies and poured out his blood on our behalf. And when God sees the blood, he passes over. He doesn't come into your house or my house to judge us. Oh, he's there. And when we mess up, he sees it. And we need to grow in Christ. But he's not going to judge us anymore because he sees the blood. It's not about how I feel. Imagine if I got to the gate there at the Poff building and he said, I want to let you in. You got your credentials? And I go, well, see, the problem is I don't really feel security cleared today. I'm just not feeling cleared. You know what I mean? And, you know, talk me through this. And he reaches over in front of me and goes, that's all you need. I don't care how you feel. You got the badge. You're welcome. What's the matter? Oh, you're looking. Oh, okay. Yeah, you want to see it again? Or what if we said, hey, can't you just look at me? I'm an honest person. Like, what's this badge stuff? And he's like, I don't care about your behavior or what you do or what you say. I need to see the sign. I need to see the sign. And you can go in. It's not about me. How many of you have ever tried to be good enough for God? Well, we should try to be holy. We're called to be holy. A person who has real faith will grow in Christ and be more and more like him. But that's not how we get saved. We get saved by the blood. The blood has nothing to do with us. So if I said to the guy at the gate, well, yeah, I've got this badge and everything, but isn't there something a little extra I can do just to prove how sincere I am? And he would say, look, man, that badge represents all the work the federal government ever had to do to give you clearance into this building. We checked your fingerprints. We checked your background. And you're clear. There's nothing you can add to your security clearance. You're in. And that's what happens when we go to God and we say, God, I know that you shed your blood for me. I know that, here we go. Almost forgot that one. That's a little humor there in the middle of my sermon. So here's the angel of death at the door. Here's the people inside, and this guy isn't feeling safe. Okay. No laughter? Okay, that's all right. But God did all the work to save us. See, the blood, it sounds so easy, but what's behind the blood? All the work that Jesus did. He lived a sinless life. He resisted the temptations of Satan. He went to the cross for you and I and shed his blood. He rose from the dead and is and seated in glory and sent the Holy Spirit. He did the work. And he gave me the badge. It's called his blood. It's a sign for God. It's a sign for God. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, that's Old Testament stuff, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood. It's a sign. And it's also a sign of new life. So in the Passover, there's some other aspects. God said to Moses and Aaron, this month, that is the month of the Passover, shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Oh. God was signifying in that way that he was starting a new existence, a new life for the people of Israel. When Jesus died for us, he started a new life for us. The day we came to know Jesus was the start of our eternal calendar. You want to say, boy, I need a new start. You know, how many of you watch the ball going up on New Year's Eve? I don't. So depressing to me. All these people go, woo, this year I'm going to lose weight. Yeah, right. You look the way you did last year. Every year, people need new hope. I need to start the calendar. Start calendar starting over. Brothers and sisters, we got something better than that. Our calendar started over when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. When you believed in him, God started your eternal calendar. If you ever feel like I need a new start, go back and look at the blood. God gave you a new start. You're on his calendar now. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And also, and this is the part you're probably saying, boy, this sounds so easy. Like we can just go do whatever we want. It sounds almost like, you know, you can just sin all you want. Well, no, you can't. But you don't earn your salvation by what you do. And you don't lose your salvation by your mistakes. Is that theologically correct? Carter's like, don't tell him. No. It was won for us by the body, by the blood of Christ. But there's also a calling on our lives to grow in him. So in the Old Testament, as part of the Passover sacrifice, the people of Israel were commanded for 7 days to eat unleavened bread. And on the first day, they were to remove all the leaven out of their houses. This also was a symbol. And Paul picks up on that in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 5. And he says, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Boy, there's some days I feel like a lump, don't you? But at least I'm a new one. As you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, that is the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So now that the angel of death has passed over, clean up the inside of the house. Get the malice out. Get the envy out. Ask God to help you to love the person you don't love. Ask God to help you to forgive the person you're having trouble forgiving. Ask God to fill your heart with greater Christ-likeness. And then another sign in the Passover, the bitter herbs, which signifies suffering with Christ. They, that is, God is speaking and saying, the people of Israel shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they shall eat it. And Philippians 1:29 says, for it has been granted to you, everyone who believes, not just the apostles or missionaries, but all of us, that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. How many of you have ever suffered even a little bit, like for Jesus? Ever been picked on for being a Christian? Have you ever felt ostracized? People are nodding. Don't want to necessarily raise your hand, because then you'll be like, other people will be like, what a brownie, you know. But we all have, or we will. There's things we just can't do in good conscience. That's part of the bitter herbs. We're suffering with Christ. And finally, we're dressed to run for it. In this manner, you shall eat it, that is the Passover, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. That's how they had to dress up when they had the Passover. It wasn't a kickback meal. It was, we're eating and we're celebrating the sacrifice that God has given us, but we're ready to run. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We're ready to run from where? Where are they running from? Egypt. Where are they running to? The Promised Land. So are we. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people, Moses, Abraham, Joshua, Daniel, Ezekiel, all these people, Isaiah, let us also lay aside every weight. Let us also, just like them, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Now listen to this, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So, in summary, you guys, the blood of Christ is the sign of my status before God. It is the badge that God gives each one of us who believe in him. And when we come before God, I hope daily, I hope hourly, to pray to him, we never have to say, God, I don't feel welcome in your presence because I'm just too messed up today. Because you're inside the house. He's just looking at the blood. He's looking at the blood and he's saying, what do you mean messed up? I'm passing over. I'm not judging you. You've passed out of death and you're in life. You say, that sounds too easy. It's not too easy. Look what Jesus paid to get us this badge. If you ever doubt that God loves you, look at the blood. If you ever doubt that God's committed to you, look at the blood. If you're ever in a problem situation and you wonder if God cares enough to help, look at the blood. For God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Brothers and sisters, the blood of Christ is the sign of my status before God. And when I see the blood, God says to you and to me, I will pass over, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the rest of the world, including Egypt. God bless you guys.